Morning to everyone. God is good. And all the time, God is good. This morning, we have so much to be thankful for. You didn't know last night if you'd even see this day. But God has lengthened out our lives to allow us to see this day. And for this, if nothing else, we should be eternally grateful and thankful to God because we did not have to be here. You know, there's so much going on in the world today. There's so much stuff going on around us. Not necessarily to us, but that the fact that it's around us sometimes can leave heartaches and pains and emotions running real high. But nevertheless, God is able and God is good. This morning, before I get started, want to thank all of the ladies. I know Brother Miles will thank you later and perhaps have a little bit more to say, but I want to thank the ladies in particular, especially those who worked on the kitchen committee. You ladies did a fantastic job as usual. I've said this many times before, but I must repeat it again. You did a fantastic job. I don't think anybody left here from the picnic left here hungry. I believe everybody, when they left, they were as full as they wanted to be. Because certainly there was food provided for them to be full. And we're just so grateful. And I want to thank Brother Miles for the job he does. We sometimes forget to thank Brother Miles. But Brother Miles is the one who puts it on and sets it up, gets it going, and keeps it going along with his assistants. Whomever they may be, Sister Taylor and many others, who work diligently to put on such a great program. And I think this was the best one of all, Brother Miles. So let us be thankful for that. Let us now go to God in prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again because you have raised us up from our sleep and slumbering on last night. You kept us protected, you kept us safe, you kept us secure. And for this we are eternally grateful. When we got up this morning, we opened our eyes to a brand new day, one that we've never seen before and one that we shall never see again. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have blessed us to see this day. We understand that this is your day and we're right where we are supposed to be, Lord, in your house. We thank you for the churches of Christ, but especially this local congregation here. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the men and brethren who have worked up to this part of the services and their families as well. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for peace, that peace may come to this world, especially this city, O Lord. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us and everything you do for us. We pray for those families that might be grieving this morning from the loss of a loved one. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would grant unto them peace and continued faith in you, O Lord. We thank you, Father, and we pray for those this morning who are without, that they may have the things that are needed to sustain them in this life. We thank you, Father. Father, we pray for all of those who are here this morning, and we pray for those that might be on their way, that they may arrive here safely. We pray especially for the ones who are in the audience right now, O Lord, because they got up, got ready, and made it out to be here with us, O Lord, to share in the worship service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for every mother, every father who are doing the right things, who are trying to raise their children up, O Lord, in the admonition of the Lord. We thank you, Father. And Father, we just pray for everybody everywhere that are standing in the need of prayer this morning. We thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. We thank you for everything you've done for us. And we thank you ahead of time for what you will do for us. If we but continue to be faithful to you, O Lord, you will be faithful to us. Thank you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, the one who went up yonder's hill, mounted on yonder's cross, stretched out his arms and died. We thank you, O Lord, in his name. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting with verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We want to talk for a few minutes about carrying burdens we need not be carrying. Life is a journey that begins when we are born and ends when we die. I speak of our earthly, as far as our earthly days are concerned. Life is brief, and we should try to make the best of it as we travel on our journey. As we travel on this journey, we sometimes pick up things, and some of these things we pick up causes us to be overweighted. We need to load up on the good things and lose the bad things. Men and women both may pick up unwanted stuff, so it behooves us to start cleansing our spiritual mind of the unnecessary baggage that we may have picked up. Not dumping one another. I do not speak of your old car that many say they're going to dump, for many of us call our old cars a pile of junk. Yet it still takes us where we need to go and gets us there when we need to get there. But I speak of spiritual things instead. I speak of cleansing of our minds and our thoughts and the deeds that we need to learn to accept and do. Let us look in the Bible and see what the Bible teaches us. The Hebrew writer describes for Christians their goal, that is a goal that is stated in the first book chapter of Hebrews chapter 12. He tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. Now, extra weight can cause us to be unfaithful to the Lord because we start to get bogged down with that extra weight. And it easily besets us. But the writer tells us to lay that aside. In other words, to remove it. If we were to talk to an athlete, they would explain how that training requires them to lose their excess weight, for it holds them back from their goals. Just as sin holds the Christian back, so does excess weight to the runner or the player of any sports. A Christian goal should be as Jesus wants us to be. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." The Lord wants us to walk in good works. God, through his word, can paint word pictures for us to see. He speaks these words that we might see the effect of the excess weight of sin. What are we to do, somebody may say? Well, we are to recognize this weight and repent and seek God's forgiveness of these sins. Look at the text once again in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us, this is what we got to do. We got to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, if you don't have patience, and many of us, as we get older, we start to lose patience. We snap at our spouses. We snap at our children. We snap at people who are just trying to talk to us. We snap at everybody. We have figured it out that we've got it down to a science. When we go to work, we know not to snap at our bosses. For we know what that can cause us. It can cause us to not have that person for a boss anymore. So we've learned to temper ourselves around. But when it comes to our family, we sometimes snap at them unnecessarily and cause them grief and pain. So the Bible says we need to lay aside and those things which so easily beset us. And then we've got to run this race with patience. This race that is set before us. Run with patience. All right. When we run with patience, then we can be more apt to do the things that God wills requires of us. So we've got to learn to get rid of this excess weight of sin, the things that bog us down. We've got to learn to let them go. And you know, sometimes, and I'm not advocating for sin, but I'm going to tell you a minute here what sin will do for you. It'll make you think that what you're doing is all right. It'll make you think that what you're doing is the right thing to do. You see, that's Satan's job. He makes it seem that which is wrong to seem right unto you, even though in your mind you know it's wrong. But if you want to run with patience, you've got to lay that aside. We've got to get rid of those old burdens that we carry that we don't need to carry. We don't need the burden of regrets. How many of us are guilty and overweight from regrets? Regrets of past blunders and past mistakes. We all make mistakes. I'd like for a person in here to raise their hand if they've never made a mistake. And I'm not going to make you lie, so I'm going to move quickly from there. We all make mistakes, but we don't have to allow them to become excess burdens for us to carry around. While we are on this journey, and we've got to run this race because we're in the race to stay in the race. Nobody wants to leave here, at least not that I know of. So we're on this race, in this race, and we're on this journey. There is a better choice available to us, though. Notice the word picture that the Bible paints for us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brother, and I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You've got to look forward and not look back. How many couples have went to divorce court over the years because of something that happened many years ago? How many children may no longer speak to their parents because of something that happened years ago? You've got to let it go, church. You've got to keep on pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling for God in Jesus Christ. Can you see that picture that the Bible is painting for us? If there are issues in your past, the Bible's advice is to leave them there. If you can't handle them, leave them there. And the best way I know is to turn them over to God and let Him have them. Now, you know, there's a place for all burdens to be laid. That's at the footstool of God's mighty throne. Lay them on the shoulder of Jesus. The best way, the best person I know to turn them over to is Jesus. If you get laid off from your job, don't get angry and go postal on your boss. Ask God for another job and he may answer you with an even better one than you had at first. Be as Paul wrote where he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. In other words, keep your sight on Jesus. Keep in your sight Jesus Christ. That one day it may become your home, heaven may become your home. Somebody may ask the question, how do I know Jesus can handle my impossible burden? Well, because the Bible tells us with God all things are possible. In Matthew 19 in verse number 26, in Luke chapter 1 in verse number 37, the Bible tells us that nothing for God is impossible. And again in Mark 10 and verse number 27. And again in Luke 18 and 27. We have God's guarantee that the Bible tells us that it's impossible for God to lie according to Hebrews 6 and verse number 18. God can't lie. If it's in his word, it's not a lie. It's the truth. So if you find yourself burdened down with a bunch of burdens that you can't seem to handle, turn them over to God. That works for the student in school. That works for the husband who's having trouble with his wife. It works for the wife who's having trouble with her husband. It works for the children who think that their parents don't know nothing about what's going on in life today. Your parents have already been there. They already know. You know, the Bible teaches us that what's going on today is not new, for there is nothing new under the sun. So it says the preacher in Ecclesiastes. So when we think about it, we can't get anything over on somebody who's already been there. So I look at the text again, and it tells us what to do. It says in verse 2, it tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God already has been through what we will ever have to go through if we but just serve him. We won't have to face the depravities of the cross. Sometimes we burden ourselves with the burden of fear. Many of us go through life living in fear. Some are fearful of life itself. Some fear for their families. Some fear for their well-being. And this one I like. Some fear for the approaching of old age. Some are in fear of the future. But in most of these fears, they're unwarranted because we can't control most of these things anyway. Jesus gave us a class on these fearful thoughts in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse number 31. He told us in his word to take no thought on what shall you eat or drink or shall you have clothes to wear. In verse number 32, he said, our heavenly Father knows we have need of these things. And then in verse 33, he told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added to you. But then I like in verse number 34, he tells us, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of itself. We sometimes sit around and ponder, what am I going to do about tomorrow, Lord, when we're not even guaranteed that tomorrow is we're going to see tomorrow. But nevertheless, God knows all about the tomorrows that we have left in our lives. In other words, let go of your worries and don't burden yourself about things that you can't control anyway. God is a much better burden bearer than we are. He can solve and erase our heavy burden. Some of us fear death. But there's no need for us to be afraid of death. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 19, he said, "Because I live, you shall live again." Death should never be a frightening experience for a Christian. A Christian who has a relationship with Jesus, that relationship should keep us from fearing death. Why fear going home? One should always be happy to go home. And home is where you want to try to make it into. A Christian should never find himself in the position of carrying so many burdens that he becomes bogged down with extra weight. Weight that can keep us from running in this race with patience. When I look at that verse in Hebrews 12 and 1, we've got to run this race, so why not run it with patience? Drop the burden of sin, drop the burden of regret, and the burden of fear. Burdens is referred to as a load. And when running, we don't need a load. It will only slow us up in this race. So the Hebrew writers tells us in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. This is why we need a relationship with Jesus. Oh, if you don't have a relationship with him, you need to develop a relationship with him. Because he is sitting next to the Father. He can get an audience with God when we can't. He can get an audience on our behalf at any time because he intercedes for us. Jesus is the author. He is the beginning of this race. And he is the closer or the finisher of this race. The difference between Jesus and us is that he has already ran a sinless race. He obeyed God in all things. He trusted God. He suffered for us according to 1 Peter 2 and 21. Leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So might I suggest to us today that we drop those unneeded burdens. Come to the Lord while we still can, while we still have an opportunity, that you may be at peace and unburdensome. So when I look at this matter and I think to myself, how many extra burdens am I carrying? I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you, but I know most of you may be carrying some extra burdens. But I'm thinking about me now. When I carry these extra burdens, I don't need to carry. I'm bogging myself down, am I not, church? I'm causing myself to be weighted down with something I don't need to be weighted down with. But I've got to run this race, and I need to run it with patience. So I need to get rid of all those things that are keeping me, that are maybe holding me back. I think about when I used to work, and I thank God that I don't work anymore. Retirement is good. It's something that you look forward to all your working career. Can I make it to retirement? And I often hear people say, well, I'm going to try to make it until I get X amount of age, and then I'm going to give it up. Well, I gave it up as soon as I could, and I gave it up because I had to, but I was looking forward to giving it up as soon as I possibly could anyhow. And I tell you something about working. Working is good. But when you put yourself in the position that says, that you say to yourself, I'm only going to work for 5 more years, and you've already worked for 60 years, don't you think it's time to quit? I think it's time to give it up because you've got a race to run, and that's work in itself. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But you've got something to do while you run this race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is sitting right next to our Heavenly Father and his Father. Don't you want to run this race with patience this morning? Don't you want to get rid of all that excess baggage that you have? Don't you want to get rid of all that excess weight that you may be carrying? And I know some of us ate yesterday and we've got a little extra weight that we're carrying this morning perhaps. But nevertheless, we need to give up all that baggage that we carry with us, because we've got to run a race with patience. And as long as you're here, you're running that race. As long as you're here on this earth, you're running that race. And I don't want to fall off the track. I don't want any of us to be left laying to the side because we are bogged down with burdens we don't need to carry. We need to get rid of those burdens and give them over to Jesus. And one thing I like to caution you of, and I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to repeat it again anyway because many preachers say it. They tell us, when we give it to Jesus, don't go and take it back. Some of us like to say, well, Lord, you ain't working fast enough. I need you to work a little faster on me. But once you give it to him, just move yourself out of the picture and let God handle it. Let God take care of it. Somebody said to themselves, I guess they say to themselves, I know how to handle me better than God knows, but that's not true. You can't handle yourself any better than God can handle you. You can't handle your life situation because you haven't handled them thus far. So what makes you think that you are better at the completion of them than God, who can see the end from the beginning and know what's in between already? When you come to church on Sunday morning, I've got time. I'm going to take the time anyway, so. When you come to church on Sunday morning, your mind should be clean of any of those unprocessed developments that happened in your life on yesterday or on last night or on, some of us like to go back 10, 15 years and say, I remember when so-and-so did such and such to me. Let that go. Let that go. You may not still like the person. You may not love the person, but you must like that person because God say we are to love one another. You may not like them, but you must love them. That's what I'm trying to say. 15 years ago, I don't remember what color shoes, pants, socks, shirt, or anything I was wearing. But 15 years ago, somebody will bring up something. Oh, I don't like him. He did something to me 15 years ago and I never forgave him. Well, that's your problem. You should have forgiven him. Even if he didn't come to you, you should have forgiven him. But if he came to you and asked for your forgiveness, you're supposed to forgive him 70 times 7, unlimited forgiveness. And another thing, while I'm flying over this territory, if you got a grudge against somebody and you see them every day and you smile in their face, you ought to let that grudge go. You just need to let it go. Give it up. Because one day we're going to have to answer for that. Every idle word and every deed is going to come up again. But praise be to God, he is able to remove all your ill feelings that you have for a person if you just go to him in prayer. Ask him to forgive, and he will forgive. I like the new convert that we have with us today because he encourages me. He's encouraging me as I speak. So just think about it for a minute, church. As long as you're running this race, ask yourself, how are you running this race? Are you running it loaded down and loaded up? Or are you running it with patience? If you're running it with patience, that means you've unloaded those burdens that you're carrying. But if not, then you're loaded down and you need to lose all those unnecessary items or burdens that you're carrying. So how do I do that, preacher? Well, you come to Jesus by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson probably would love to baptize somebody today. But if you've already taken those steps, you can come back to the Lord by asking Him for forgiveness, and then coming before the church and asking them for forgiveness as well, asking them to pray for you as you pray for yourself. But God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. If that's your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.